and we look forward for his teaching us and singing and the lessons that he will be giving. As you can see, we're going to talk about strength. Bob pointed that out this morning when he started. As we look at this, let's see how important strength is. What I'm talking about here is inner strength. I'm not talking about how many muscles you can grow, but the strength within to handle whatever comes your way. And that's vitally important to every one of us in this audience. For one reason it's important, if you look at the passage in Job 14 and verse 1, we find there that all will face difficulty. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. I think those of us who have lived any length of time would say amen to that. Now, some of the troubles we have are troubles we create ourselves. But there's other troubles that you and I will face that are no fault of our own whatsoever. And therefore, we need inner strength. And God was aware of that. So we're going to talk about some scriptures that talk about the strength that you and I can have. I want us to look at a next passage, and that's Proverbs chapter 24, and Proverbs chapter 24 in verse 10. The New King James Version says, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." Now I'm going to use a few other versions of that very same verse. Again, Proverbs 24 and verse 10. The New International Version puts it, "If you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength?" You know, we can talk about our strength, but it really is challenged when we have these troubles that come our way. And I like the 2020 version of the New American Standard Version. It says, "If you show yourself lacking courage on the day of distress, your strength is meager." I like that one the best. I don't use the New American Standard, but I like that. That again, lacking courage. Sometimes we lack courage when we have difficulties come our way, do we not? Sometimes we question not only others and ourselves, but sometimes we even question God. So how can I have this strength as troubles will come my way? Let's go to Psalms 46. In Psalms 46, we have recorded for us in verses 1 through 3, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." Going back to verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. Now we can read that passage and say it means what it says. But then let's ask the question, how is he our strength? How is God going to be our strength? It tells us he is our refuge and strength. Well, how is that accomplished? And that's what we're going to study this morning, God's strength for you and me. First of all, we understand all answers are going to be given within this book we're studying this morning, the Bible. And we are instructed to be strong. So let's look at some passages that instruct us to be strong. God knows things are not going to be nice and smooth. Now, we all like the Cinderella story where everything goes nice and smooth, but life is not like that. Let's be realistic about that. So if he's going to be my strength, what must I do to look to him for that strength? Well, as I said, we're instructed to be strong. We find, as you turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 105, in Psalms 105, and verse 4, on how we as his people should be focusing after him. There it says, "Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore." Problem is, people don't seek the Lord and his strength. When the times get rough, instead of seeking the Lord and his strength, they complain to the Lord, or they get mad at the Lord, or they turn away from the Lord. But there it says, "Seek the Lord and his strength." Again, let's go to another passage. We have this strength according to his word. That's how I can't emphasize enough the word of God. Psalms 119. Let's turn to Psalms 119. And we have recorded for us in verse 28. Psalms 119 and verse 28. My soul melts from heaviness. I want to stop there. Can you think of times where your soul has melted from heaviness? Can you think of times where you were so overwhelmed, that's how you felt, your soul melts from heaviness? Look at what it says. Strengthen me, what? According to your word. You see, the problem is we're instructed to be strong, but perhaps we don't follow his advice on learning his word that enables us to be strong. And that's where sometimes the problem lies. To illustrate that, let me suggest this question to you. And again, when I ask questions, you are fully aware you don't have to answer them verbally. I had one man one time started answering every question I asked. I quit asking the questions. But when we look at this situation, as we look at verse 28, strengthen according to your word, I want to ask you seriously, how much time do you spend in his word? Now, we are today, but did you yesterday? Did you the day before? And you can go back to the, how much time did you spend in his word? Now, again, times are full of trouble. God wants to strengthen us. He is not going to strengthen us miraculously. Now, God would have been capable of doing that, but that's not the way he does it. We're strengthened through his word. Now, when do you think you should be going to his word to get strength? While you're in the trouble or before you get to be in the trouble? It's the latter, is it not? So let's look at some other passages that we're instructed to be strong. We find in the third thing, strength with might through his spirit on the inner man. So again, strengthened with all might, Colossians chapter 1. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 1, give you a second to get there, and verses, actually we're going to do 9 through 11. Listen to what Paul states to those at Colossae. For this reason we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, there's a lot of lessons there, but I want you to emphasize on the knowledge. Notice the knowledge of his will, the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Now, where's this glorious power going to be? In his will, right? The knowledge of his will. So I need the strength of the knowledge of his will. And that, of course, strength comes from the inner man. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we have this recorded for us in Ephesians 3, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. Notice, strengthened with all might through what? Through the inner man. Now let's stop here for a moment. Let's consider our brethren of the first century. Did our brethren of the first century have difficulty? I think we would have to say yes. Did they suffer great persecution? I think we would have to say yes. Did they sometimes have financial adversity? I think you would have to say yes. Did they suffer famine on occasion? Again, the word is yes. Did they suffer physical elements? Look at Paul, thorn in his flesh. I think we would have to say yes. How did they make it through? By the teachings of his word. They clung to that, the strength that comes through his word. Otherwise, they could have very easily have given up. What's going to happen next week? I have no idea, do you? I know that with each day what I need to do, but I have no idea what's going to happen. I hope you have a good week. I hope I have a good week. But we don't know that. But if difficulty comes, and sad but true, difficulty can come, will we be strong enough to deal with that? That's why we have the instructions, Old Testament, New Testament, over and over and over again, instructed to be strong. It doesn't come about by chance. You have to put forth the effort as well as I do. Another passage, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. You know, when we look at strength from a physical sense, we know that that takes effort. Those of us who are getting older, whether we want to recognize it or not, we have to keep on moving, don't we? That's what gives us the strength. If you're going to just vegetate in your chair, you're going to lose what? You're going to lose strength. That's why you've got to get up and walk. That's why you've got to get up and move. That's why you've got to get up and read. That's why you've got to do all these different things to maintain. Now, you're not going to have the physical strength of a 20-year-old at 70. But if you want to continue to have strength, you've got to work at it, do you not? It doesn't come about by chance. Now, why do you do that? Because it's going to enhance your life on this earth, is it not? Now, why do we go for spiritual strength? It's going to enhance us to deal with whatever comes our way within, and it's going to lead us to a home of eternal life. Now, that's going to take effort, too. That's why I say, and it's none of my business how much time you study. That's totally up to you, but I'm just telling you, your strength from God comes through here. And if you keep this closed throughout the week, except Sundays and Wednesdays, you're probably very weak. You may not think you are, but you're probably very weak. You need to feed upon this on a daily basis so that you can have strength, because you don't know what's coming your way. And 1 Peter, gird up the loins of your mind. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, it tells us this. You say, Chuck, why do you keep on bringing this up? Don't you have anything more? I keep on bringing this up because we sometimes keep on forgetting, right? I don't think anybody in this audience determines not to do what God wants us to do. I think what happens, we get involved with life. And in getting involved with life, we unintentionally put this aside. And that's the problem. See, you got to be involved in life, but keep this at the primary focus of your life. And so do I. And not just so that I can preach, but so that I can handle the difficulties that come my way. And 1 Peter chapter 1, actually it's the whole section there, but in verse 13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind. Now why would I want to gird up the loins of my mind? It's going to give me strength. It's going to give me strength to handle things that come my way. And same thing with you. And if we have adversity and we are losing our faith, what does that tell us? Our strength is indeed small. We don't want to have small strength. We want to be strong in the Lord. Again, as we come to the close of this, as we talk about this, I'm going to go to two more passages, not the whole lesson, this point. In Ephesians chapter 6, one of my favorite passages. In Ephesians chapter 6, if you don't get anything else out of today's lesson, if everything else is a blank, in other words, next Wednesday, what did Chuck preach Sunday morning? I don't know. Here's what I hope you will remember. Now, I'm not saying the other verses aren't important, but in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, remember this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I remind myself of that on a daily basis. Now, verse 11 tells us how that's accomplished. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and the power of what? Listen, his might. not the power of your might, not the power of my might, the power of his might. How can I be strong? Through the teachings that are here. Again, when we see that, let me give you a biblical example. All these passages we've gone to up to this point can culminate in this illustration. And it's the Lord's illustration. So let's go to that illustration in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Talking about strength. As we feed upon the Word of God, you know what that's going to lead us to be? Going to lead us to be the wise man. The wise man. And you know what it's talking about in 24 through 27? Problems. You see how this all ties together? We started out with problems, did we not? Full of problems. But here's the strength. Let's read it. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them not will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now let me ask you a couple questions here as we look at this passage. Did the winds and the rains and floods come to both? Mm-hmm. Did both hear the word of God? What's the difference? One of them incorporated it in his life. The other didn't. So when I talk about strength and we are instructed to be strong, it's not simply having head knowledge. It's having that head knowledge which is applied into one's application. And then we can handle whatever comes our way. I've known of people who could quote a lot of scriptures, but their life was a shamble. Now, how is that possible? Because they never put the head knowledge into application. So when we talk about strength, it begins with the head knowledge. But that head knowledge has to be incorporated in our conduct, right? Are we strong? That's totally up to you. That's totally up to me. Now, let's stop and think now. Well, Chuck, what you've just said up to this point of your lesson, that's going to take effort. Oh, that's right. Everything worthwhile takes effort. Now, I have to ask myself, is the effort worth it? And the answer is yes, and we're going to look at some passages that teach that. The effort, again, I'm not complaining, but I'm working on a series that we're going to have, a study on Revelation. And honestly, brother, when I get done with some of my private studies, my head is spinning. And I'm thinking, why did I even suggest this? But it's a book we need to study. And so I go back to it and go back to it. And, you know, there's going to be things I'm not going to have an answer to. But you keep on putting the effort, and down the road, you're going to see the results. Not saying it's a parallel. So I'm going to really date myself. Years ago, there was a movie called The Karate Kid. And you had Mr. Miyagi. To me, he was my favorite character. And Mr. Miyagi is teaching this young man how to defend himself. And I loved the section where he's waxing the car, where he's painting the fence, and he's doing other yard work. And I can't blame the young guy. He's getting frustrated because this... But all that effort led to good results on something else. Now, that's just a movie. I understand that. But it was effort. And all the effort you put into your study of God's Word to get the strength will produce the result that it's intended. So let's look at some of those. Strength through the Scriptures gives us life. Well, you say, I can have life without the Scriptures. Yes, you can. And sadly, a lot of people do. But you look at the life of a faithful Christian in comparison to the life of someone who has nothing to do with Christ. And let me ask you this. Who has the inner strength? Who has the inner strength? Be honest now. It's going to be the faithful Christian, is it not? Turn with me, if you will, as we look at this, to Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, 92 and 93. We have recorded for us in Psalms 119 this statement on the value of feeding upon the Word of God, which gives us that strength. In 92 it says, unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. Never forget, you know, unless your law, again in the context, they're talking about the Old Testament law, but we got the gospel, the law of faith, they give me life. We're in strange times, in my opinion. Not going to go into politics, not going to go what's going on. I don't know what's going to happen a year from now, but I'm glad I'm in Christ. I'm glad I'm a part of the kingdom. I'm glad I don't have to depend on man to give me that strength that I need. I'm glad I can depend on what's in here, and it gives me life. Didn't say it was going to be an easy life. That passage doesn't say it's going to be an easy life. But it's going to give you life. You're going to be able to handle whatever comes your way. Why? Because you're strong. And how did you get strong? By feeding upon the Word of God. Take effort? Yeah, lots of effort. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, strength gives us victory over sin. Turn with me, if you will, if you're in Psalms 119, go back to verse 11. Psalms 119, verse 11. You know, I wish I could tell people that when they obey the Word of God, that they no longer have to worry about sin. But on the contrary, there might even be more challenges. And really, sin is a simple three-letter word that has devastating results. The word sin comes from the Greek word to miss the mark. And again, whose mark? It's God's mark. That you miss God's mark when you sin. A good illustration of that, remember back in Joseph when Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him. How did he conclude with her? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Right? Genesis 39. It was God's mark. Well, when you sin against God, when you miss God's mark, there's always a consequence for that. Is there not? So how do I avoid sin? Well, Psalms 119, verse 11 says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Even the most devout Christian has battles within. There's going to be one side of you on occasions that's going to want to do one thing, and hopefully you have enough knowledge from God's word. You know you are to do another thing, and you're going to have that internal ramification going one against the other. That which is stronger is going to win. If you are stronger, that you're sound in the faith, you'll win over that point. For instance, it's a little thing. Has anyone ever made you mad? No. What's the first thing naturally happens when you're made mad? To lash out back at them, correct? Whether it be verbally or physically. I want to stop here. If you say that never happens to you, you're lying to yourself. We all get upset. What happens when that does happen is we've got to be careful not to rationalize to do something that is wrong when we know what is right. Correct? How do you think gossip travels? Oftentimes, because someone's mad at someone else. And they've got to tarnish the character of another. How sad is that? So the right thing is, don't gossip. That's what God's word has to say. Well, I'm going to get even with them. I'm not going to hurt them. I'm just going to spread a half-truth. By the way, a half-truth is a lie. Remember that. A half-truth is usually a lie, is it not? So you got that internal battle. What's this say? If I hide God's word in my heart, if I make that the primary focus, I'll make the right choice and not do that which is wrong. And this is a challenge we face till the day we die on different areas. Maybe it's not getting mad. Maybe it's something else. I did something stupid this week, and I'm going to probably try to pawn it off to Jake, but he won't take it. I haven't had candy for a lengthy period of time, so I'm going to go to Sam's. First of all, why am I going to Sam's? Go to Publix, get a candy bar. No. I'm going to Sam's. And I'm going to get these miniature candy bars. That's better for you, right? Miniature. 155. My wife hid it from me, but I found them. Watching football yesterday. I'm just going to have a couple. That's a whole lot better than a big candy bar. 2 in the afternoon. Well, I had 3. A little bit later, 2-3 hours later. 3 sounds good. I have 3 more. Last football game of the night that I'm looking at before I go to bed. Oh, I've already had 6. What's the problem with? I probably had 2 candy bars when you add that all up. Okay, here's the point. Is there anything wrong with the can't? No, but the point is, if I can't control myself, it's bad for me. So here's the situation. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm not bread sad. Because I've convinced myself when I bought that big bag, this is going to last me all month. It's not going to last me a week the way I'm going. So you know what? I'll give it to Jake and he'll throw it away. Because he'll always take, because, you know, I bug him so much, will he take this, will he take this, will he takes it, and then with the minute he's gone, he dumps it. I don't know if he does that with everything. Now, that's a simple illustration, but do you get the point? You know what to do is right. You got a challenge to do something that's not right. And now you got a battle and say, so you mean to tell me you weren't spirit? No, I wasn't. I was more looking to the flesh. That sure tasted good. Until I thought, well, I probably had 2 candy bars tonight. I'd been better off go buy 6, so once the 6 are gone, they're no longer there. Now I think I still have at least 135 pieces of chocolate. You get the point. Strength comes from God's word, helps us to avoid things that's going to be bad for us. If we apply it. But if we don't apply it, all you can know about God's word and all you can know about strength means nothing. Now you go into other things. Talking about sin. Break up of families. I suggest to you, those who have grown up with the church, in the church, or those who know the teaching, they know that that is wrong to be unfaithful. They know that. But they put themselves in a situation over and over and over again till they do that which is wrong. And it not only affects the relationship between the two, it affects the relationship with children, it affects the relationship of family, it reflects the relationship of the church, and it goes on and on. That's why I need strength. And I need to allow that strength to control my thinking. Let's move on. Strength makes it possible to handle all circumstances. Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Not that I speak regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am there to be content. I know how to abase, I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's the word strength. Now question, how does Christ strengthen you? Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. He strengthens you in the inner man, right? And how do I get strengthened in the inner man? By going to the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So I can, and Paul could handle whatever his circumstance was by staying focused to Christ and his teachings. That's easier said than done. But if we do it, we will have the same success that Paul had. So again, is it value to grow in strength? Absolutely. Let's move on. Strength gives us the ability to discern what's right and wrong. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14. We have recorded for us here in this chapter, verse 13, and everyone who partakes in them only in the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, for those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now here's the problem. Here's a whole lesson. How do you discern good and evil? Well, if you discern good and evil by today's standards, then that's a fluctuating schedule, is it not? But that's not what it's talking about. Discern good and evil based upon what? God's word. Correct? So how do I discern good and evil? Well, the only way I can truly discern good and evil is if I have the strength to know what good and evil is. Remember Isaiah 5:20. They call evil good and good evil. That's the problem we have this day, because they have not gone to God's word. And by the way, in those decisions, whatever decision you make includes a consequence. People never pay attention to the consequences. You know, it makes me always laugh when they want to sell you something and you don't have to pay for a year. Remember this, that year will come quicker than you thought it did. And now you're going to have to pay. And if you did that with two or three different things, you've got a lot of money going out. Oh, by the way, if you miss a payment, then all the interest is tacked on from day one. Read the fine print. And people don't realize stuff like that. You know, a lot of people get in a lot of trouble because of monetary reasons, because they don't think things through. They don't think things through. And same thing here. A lot of people get in a lot of trouble in life because you don't think things through. You choose the evil instead of the good. But you say, well, I didn't think it was evil. Well, I don't care what you think. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? You follow my point? I mean, we see this all the time. Give you one simple illustration, then we'll go on. Horrible, horrible, horrible thing happened in Georgia this week when that kid went and shot those kids. This, I'm a firmly believer of this. The gun was not the evil. The use of the gun was evil. The gun was not evil. The foolishness of the dad to buy the kid the gun was evil. But we want to make it simple. Oh, it's the gun. Let me tell you the truth. You didn't just have a gun go into that school and start shooting. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? Just a gun with no body. You don't have that. You had someone who had the gun. And someone who had emotional difficulties, as we're learning. And then you had a fall. In fact, I felt bad for the kid. He had a horrible life from what I'm reading in the paper, but that still doesn't make it right. And families are mourning this very day because of that, because they couldn't discern both good and evil. You get my point? So to discern good and evil, it's based on this. Not what you think, not what I think, not what society says. And we can go to 101 issues, but I'm running out of time, so let's move on. Strength of the Scriptures gives me hope. As I feed upon the Word of God, which gives me strength, it gives me hope. Colossians chapter 1, we studied this last week. And Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5. We have this stated, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Notice where we learned of that hope? Through the gospel. That gives me strength. That no matter how bad it might get here, what do I have awaiting for me? Heaven. Wow. How wonderful is that? So again, here we have it. Remember, it all goes back, strength comes from the Word of God. So we're going to tie this up to a close with these passages. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's go there. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. It states, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You ever expect an important letter from somebody in the mail? Well, nobody uses mail anymore, so this is an outdated thing. But when we used to use the mail, you'd wait for that important letter, right? The most important letter you'll ever get is what we're studying this morning. Because it teaches us how to live. It makes us complete. You want to have strength? Get your nose in here and read what God has to say. And then apply it to your life. And it'll help you handle whatever goes your way. And Psalms 19, we sing a song from this psalm. And I'm looking forward to our singing week. I'm not sure how he's going to do it. And I determined I will be coming by choice to the Saturday morning song leaders class, but I'm going to let him know. I'm going to let him know right now I'm not a song leader. I'll be sitting in the back. And if he dares, wants to call on me, I'll sit in the room. So I will be out of sight and out of mind. But I say all that to say this. Our singing's important because it brings us back to God. Does it not? Brings us back to what God has done for us. And it's good that we can learn to try to do better. But in the psalm we have recorded for us here, as we've sang this before, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. By the way, notice I'm not singing it, I'm reading it. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening of the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Stop. I give you a little gold chip or the word of the Lord. Sad but true, what would people take today? They'd probably take the gold chip, wouldn't they? How sad, because that's temporary. The word of the Lord is more valuable than gold, yea, than fine gold. Wow. And yet, if we're not careful, when we go home, there it sits till next Wednesday. There it sits till next Sunday, week after week after week. And then when something goes bad in our life that is no fault of our own, our first utterance to God is, why, God? When God warns us, hey, you're in a society that a lot of bad things happen, but I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the strength. Do you believe that? I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. And I learn from my mistakes. And I keep on trying to do better. How about you? Sometimes I fail the test. How about you? But when you go back to this word, you can get back right on the right course. So as we close this morning talking about strength, how strong are you spiritually? Well, if you're not in Christ, you're not strong. If you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins, you're lost. Acts chapter 2 clearly teaches that. I don't mean to be hard-hearted, but you ought to consider that seriously. When you stand before the day of God on the day of judgment and say, well, I was going to get around to it, that's not going to cut it. Well, I was sprinkled, that's not going to cut it. Well, I was baptized after I accepted you as my personal Savior, that's not going to cut it. Consider how important your soul is. God's Word clearly teaches, when they asked men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. When the Ethiopian eunuch was taught Christ, here is water. What hinders me from what? Being baptized. When Ananias went to Paul as he talked about his conversion, Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias said, arise and be baptized. Listen to what he says. Inspired of God, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It's at baptism you come into contact with the blood of Christ. But then after baptism, we've got to grow. You remember when Paul called the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20? And he tells of all the things that he had done for the cause of Christ. And he instructed the elders. Do you remember in Acts 20 and verse 32, he states, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, give you that strength, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst all those who are sanctified. Well, if that advice was valuable to them, how valuable is it to you and I? So we close this morning. Are you strong? As we stand and as we sing. Your life is wrong.